It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Yo, what's going on, everyone? Welcome to this week's episode of River City 93. I'm your host, as always, Elliot Barr. I'm wearing this USMNT jersey out of no correlation of what's happening tonight. Jamaica won, and I'm supporting my other national team. So it's a win for me all around, even though Saturday was a meh. But joining me, as always, is my co-host, my good friend, Matt Myers. How are you doing, buddy?
Doing all right. Yeah, thing I got to work and grow my hair back out again since you were so impressed with, you know, Darren's flow from back in the day. I got to get my compliments from you too.
Yeah, there you go. Look, I saw the video. It was real quick. It was maybe like 2 seconds. The day he popped out, I was like, wait, I've seen Darren with long hair, but to see it like flow like that, I was like, oh.
Yeah. Man had a good head of hair. I mean, I was trying to tell him like one of the first years, like, hey, you know, make a deal. You win a championship, bring the hair back. He didn't go for it.
No, he didn't. I wonder if he still can. Like, I wonder if it just gets to a certain point where it's just like, it's no more.
I don't know, but I think everyone would enjoy it if, you know, he has a throwback. Even if it's a wig, you know, just bring back the throwback night.
You should.
Rob can get a, you know, his flow back for a night as well. You know, it'll just be a 90s night at, you know, City Stadium.
Yeah. Oh, 90s night. I do remember telling Darren that he reminded me of Thanos when he first got here. Just because of, like, how stern his face looks. But it's probably more so Thor with the hair falling back and whatnot. But that's besides the point. Yeah. So we got a lot to talk. Well, I wouldn't say a lot to talk about. We do have some positives, some negatives to talk about. Richmond, unfortunately, did not pick up the win. We don't have a happy pod, quote unquote, as I would like to have.
What are you talking about? We won on Wednesday.
Yeah, well, you know, I recorded a little short snippet on Wednesday, but yes, we did. That was a happy pod, but it wasn't with the whole crew.
We haven't played a game since then, so I don't know what you're talking about.
I like the selective memory. That is fine. We can always have selective memory on this show. I'm with that. Well, I know some of the kickers are hoping to have selective memory after picking up a 3-1 loss to South Georgia Tormenta. The scoreline might not be friendly to the kickers. The stat line might be in favor of the kickers, but at the end of the day, it's about the score that ends up on the scoreboard. Matt, we were talking about this before we started recording, as always, but where should we start off with this game? It was the same lineup from Darren, not unchanged. We did see, however, I did pick this up from Nate. There were nine players on the bench. So I asked Nate about it. He confirmed it. The league made a rule this year that the home team can have nine players on the bench. Two of them have to be academy players, though. So I think the two extra players have to be academy players. So that's why Richmond had now the bench versus Tormenta have the seventh. And
I like that change. I think it makes sense if you're trying to encourage, you know, the use of youth players. I don't see why you don't just, you know, open it up, you know, for, you know, the way teams too, if they want to travel their, you know, young guys. Good for them. Why not? All right. So, but yeah, take baby steps in the right direction, and we've got the guys, so you can never hurt to be able to fill out the bench a little bit further.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, we do. We do have the guys. I want to start off on a positive note, and maybe we can trade positive and negatives throughout this. Because this game was encapsulation of everything that's been going in the certain direction. Kickers at the start of the season, Kickers gave up an early goal. I will say this, though. They responded really well, had a good spell of possession, created some dangerous chances. However, in that, they didn't create their own luck by finishing those chances and gave up some questionable chances to Tormenta. What was your overall feel of the game?
I mean, I guess, you know, just right from the start, like, it's almost a little bit eerie, like, how similar those first 10 minutes of the Spokane game were to the, you know, 10 minutes on Saturday. Yeah. Right. You know, Kickers go down there, you know, get the first really good, you know, chance of the game, arguably maybe should have scored it, you know, early on, and then, you know, get hit with, you know, a goal, you know, in the, you know, fourth or fifth minute, you know, right away. And there wasn't a ton of it. I mean, there was a really good shot by Doyle, unfortunately. Like, if you really want to, like, you know, pick at tiny things here and there, you probably could, but I think that's one that you just have to kind of, you know, chalk up to, okay, we blocked a shot, it bounced right out to their guy who just laced it into the top corner from 20-plus yards out. That's going to happen a few times a season, you know, to any team. So, but then you kind of, you know, a little bit back and forth, and I mean, it was just such a mirror image. My thought process was, oh, no, please don't carry on with this and, you know, give up another one, you know, 15 minutes in. But then the Kickers just almost got that, you know, goal in the 15th minute instead. You know, took a pretty decent save, you know, by the Tormenta keeper to be able to keep what I think was Sierkowski out from
it. I think it was.
And then after that, the game kind of settled into what it would turn into be.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, definitely patterns there. And, I mean, it's a little bit, you know, kind of like what Wednesday was too. Like, you know, Christos had that one really good chance, you know, early in the game that I can't remember if it actually hit the post or the crossbar or if it just was really nearby it. But there's definitely a pattern developing with the starts.
Yeah, there is. I asked Neil about that in the post-game interview, and he was just it was weird. You could just tell there was kind of like this, not befuddled, but almost it was no one really knew how to explain it. Like, if you go look at the past three games for the Kickers, from Spokane to Christos to Tormenta, it's like the first 15 minutes, the opposing team would get like this crazy good chance, lace it, and it's like, you're just like I asked Neil the question of like, does it change your gameplay? Like, does it deflate you? He was like, yeah, like, honestly, like, because you start off so good. Now, the Tormenta game, you can argue, not argue, you can look at it and be like, it didn't start well because there was a bad pass to Pablo that he kind of laid out to throw in that created, you know. It took him a while to try to get forward and build on that possession because I made a note about how it took Richmond a while to kind of build out and kind of get their foot on the ball because Tormenta had us blocked in for so while. But even with that, the Kickers, for the longest, you know, one of the things that we knew this Kickers team, like, I feel like one of the trademarks was this team was sturdy defensively. Like, they could carve out chances. They're cool with the long shots. And that's what it's been. Like, it's been – like, all right, we'll protect the middle of the box, and if you want to take a shot from deep, oh, so well. It's just so happened that the shots from deep have been going in or creating, you know, really good chances. And like you said, like, the first goal, I really just laced that down to we defended the first shot, and if you look at it, like, there's three Kickers players. All of them are looking to see where the ball deflected to. It just so happens to bounce into the path of Connor Doyle, and he just laces it, and it goes in the back of the net. Like, even so much so, like, after the game, I was walking past Connor. I told him, I was like, yo, that's a really good shot. And the Tormenta staff person mentioned the goal. He was just like, you tried that goal in practice and have never hit it. And you just so happy to hit it in the game. And that just sums it up. Like, that, a goal that he has been within in practice, he hits in the game.
Yeah, I mean, part of it too is being willing to, you know, to take that shot.
Yeah,
you know, comes to you, and I know the stats that we took, you know, a ton of shots on Saturday, but I do feel sometimes the guys look for a little bit of, you know, the perfect shot instead of, you know, having a okay shot. But that's far from the, you know, I think the biggest, you know, issue on board right now.
Yeah. I will give credit to the Crickets, though. They responded back perfect. Like, they had a good response. Good spell of possession. I think at one point, I kept hearing the number, like, there was 70% possession at one point. I kind of feel like if you wanted to tilt a little bit more, it may have been like 60-40. It just felt like once Tormenta got that first goal in the first 5 minutes, they were cool with their gameplay. I feel like that gameplay the whole time was, yo, we're going to sit back. If an opportunity arises, like, we'll take care of it. But
yeah, first half possession was 69-31, then overall was 64-36.
Yeah, like I felt like Tormenta was just fine. Like, yo, we're gonna sit back. And even Darren mentioned in the pregame conference, I'm just like, Tormenta's good on the counter. Like, they're gonna sit back, they're gonna be tight in between the lines. We're gonna have to pull them out of possession. And that's probably the hardest thing to do in soccer is break down a low block. Like, Man City will lose games. It's the greatest possession team, Man City, will lose a game against like Burnley or Fulham or something just because, like, it's in a low block and it's hard to pull them out. I'm not equating Richmond and Man City or anything. I'm just using that as an example. But Richmond in this game, if you look at the first half, got in positions. There's a couple of chances. We can talk about this about Ryan Sarakowski. I felt like he had a couple of chances. I know there's a couple of chances that he's going to want back. Because I can remember that, like, I think there's at least three chances in the first half alone that he's in the right position, and I don't know if he gets stuck in the moment. Not I wouldn't say afraid to pull a trigger or anything like that, but just a little bit hesitant. Like you said, trying to wait for that perfect moment, or the ball doesn't land right and it messes up the chance. But I do feel like there were some good to decent chances there that he had that. If he's able to take just one of those, maybe he goes in the back of the net. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I don't think it's like an individual thing right now. I think it's just a pattern of play,
yeah,
you know, sort of scenario. Yeah, because what I'm seeing like pretty consistently is this team is like right side dominant right now.
Yeah, it does feel like a flip from in the years past. Right.
So left everything side is going through Simon and or Adrian at the moment. And I don't know if that's by design. I don't know if that's, you know, because other teams are saying, all right, over here, this is where you're playing, you know, from right now. But either way, that's the way, you know, these games, you keep on playing out. Like, the left side is, I mean, it's there a little bit, but, you know, if I had to guess without actually looking at like your stats or anything like that, I'd say probably at least what, you know, 2-1, 3-1, you know, right side to left side, you know, attacks. Mm-hmm. I had to guess, and you know, that I think that can play into, you know, Ryan's, you know, strength a little bit more because I think he's really a center forward at his core. And the one thing we've seen that, you know, we are good at over the last, you know, couple of years is corners, long throws, and therefore presumably we should be good at, you know, crosses, you know, heading in crosses as well. It doesn't always perfectly play out that nice and neatly, but the theory of it seems like it should be there. But I think it also, we're just getting very, very predictable in, you know, what we do in the attack, and it can let, you know, these teams sit in, because we saw the same thing on Wednesday night with Christos. Now, granted, vastly different, you know, talent levels.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly their plan was to sit deep, you know, keep it 0-0 as long as humanly possible and hope to steal one, which, I mean, hey, it worked for them the first time, you know, around. And the guys, you know, were doing the same. It was the same, you know, kind of look, you know, a lot of, all right, let's go down the right. Let's try to swing. Let's see if Adrian can, you know, dribble somebody, you know, from out there and just, you know, rinse and repeat. So, I've got to think if I'm, well, we play Fuego next time, Jermaine Jones. Look at that. All right. Let's sit back. Give them the ball. Make, you know, make them prove they can do something to us. and we'll prep and you'll be ready to hurt him on the counter.
Yeah, that's true. And luckily, the team got a week off so they can get some rest and recover. I will mention this. Like, there were a couple of chances that I felt like I cut out just because of it. Kind of felt like it was the same thing on Wednesday. A lot of players were slipping on the pitch, like miscontrolling the ball that would cut out chances. Like, there was one chance in the first half. I think we were going down the middle of the field. Belhart looks like he's getting ready to strike it or to cut it back. He just slips at the unopportune moment and loses the ball. Like, those little turnovers there, either A, slow down possessions, or, you know, cut out chances, or B, like, we lose it. And it hurts you if you're a possession-based team, because the main thing you want to do is control the ball in dangerous areas. But if you're losing the ball over missteps, bad touches, it really hurts you in a possessions-out system. It's versus you being very direct, and, you know, like, all right, if I play this ball forward, I don't have to worry about, you know, control of the ball so much versus so much of possession where you're trying to pull teams out of that little block and you need to move the ball quickly. You know? But yeah, I mean, overall, the first half, I'm not – like, I guess my overall mood about this game is not so much an annoyance, but it's a lot of, like, I can see stuff. I can see with my own eyes things working, right? Like, I can see the chances created. I can see us getting on the end of these good chances that we're creating. It's just, like, the finishing is lacking. But also in that, like I said before, like, we're not creating – we're creating luck for the other team. It's so much so if you go look at the second goal because, like, I knew in my head.
I don't think we created luck for them on that one. They, Turnbridge created, his own luck and just absolutely made our team look like, like U15s out there.
Well, like I said, like on the second goal, I get under, like mine. The second goal, I can understand the complete annoyance so much so because I think even one point I looked at Darren on the goal. And it was funny because Darren's just like looking out there like, you can just see his whole head drop. But if you're Simon, look, we praise Simon, but Simon's one of the players. Like, I hold him to a high standard because we know the abilities of him. But you can't lose the ball from a guy that's trailing behind you and then get bodied by the same guy in the same play. Like, you got to pick one. And then Neil picked up the yellow card earlier, which means Neil couldn't foul the guy because if he did, he's getting a red and getting sent off. And that's, ball carrying distributor there. So he can't foul there, which I get. The next part of it, the next phase of this play, I don't understand what anyone is doing. I don't understand Zaka standing like a crossing guard.
Yeah, it was literally like, looked like Matador defense.
Yeah, like he was just like, die. Like, gotcha. Like, I don't like Zaka. Like, if there's any time for you to pick up that yellow, it's there.
Right. Hip check a dude.
Yeah. Like, if there's any time I need you to clean someone out, that's the time. And then Dak and Griffin, I feel like get caught in no man's land. Like, there's a weird miscommunication there. Maxie as well. And it just breaks in. There's nothing Pablo can do.
No,
on that,
not at all. Like,
because all three goals, and I will defend Pablo. Like, we made jokes on Pablo in the past, but in all three goals given up in this game, I feel like there's nothing really Pablo can do.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. Like, it's not on Pablo positioning or saving or anything like that. Like, they're just, I feel like chances one on one with the goalkeeper are like a rocket. Like, the first goal.
Mm-hmm.
It comes out. But the second the second goal, I feel like that's something Darren's really going to hone in on with these guys and look like, yo, we can't. If teams are going to score, it's going to be via the, like, how the first goal happened. The second goal is inexcusable because it's just bad defense. It's bad defending.
Yeah. We probably named half the team. In that sequence,
probably so. Right. Well, mostly the defense. You had the right back, the center defensive mid, both center backs and a left back.
Right. And, you know, like, yeah, great sign, you know, getting forward. Like, okay, you get body, then foul right away. You know, yeah. Neil, don't. That was a bad yellow card to take early on because it was right around midfield and he just decided to grab a guy like early on. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I didn't think it was going to directly impact a goal later on. But like, you got to be a little smarter when you take your yellows and everything. Mm-hmm. We talked about the Zaka thing and yeah, I feel a little bit bad for, Griffin because, I think when you watch the replay, he looks the worst. On it because, the guy just runs right behind it and past him. And it looks like he's ball watching, which, I mean, he was. But I think there's a lot of weird communication or lack thereof going on, in there. And, he basically got, the posterized, version of it. Because, all those, NBA posters, it's usually not the guy, getting dunked on's fault. He's usually the guy, trying to come over and, cover or for somebody who didn't play defense, but he's the one who looks bad.
Yeah, he does. Like, I do you think he's trying to like time the offside trap?
I honestly, does, it looks. I couldn't bad. Figure out what on earth the thought process was going on there.
I don't know.
I want to chalk it up to he's 17.
Yeah, honestly. And I mean, look, this is a kid that's like you tweeted out there, like. I'm hoping the kickers can convince him to sign a pro contract because he's been fantastic so far.
Like, yeah. I might need to walk it back a little past fantastic because of what we just talked about.
But for a 17-year-old, like,
yeah.
Yeah,
on a curve, yes.
Yeah, on a curve. One bad play out of so far, I think he's played with a combined 270 minutes.
He got subbed off this game. Yeah, for Cole, so okay.
Maybe like 250,
like 240, something like that.
Yeah, 240, 250. Like he's done good. Like he's done good. I'm surprised. Yeah. I thought he truly was like a midfielder, but seeing him back there, center back, he's been good. Another surprising thing that I want to get your opinion on: Nick Simmons, Arthur Boshua. Nick Simmons started this game as striker. How would you rate his performance? Because I felt like granted, he didn't get any really clear chances. I meant to ask Darren this during the press game. What was the thought process between starting Simmons over Boshua in this game? Because it seemed like when Boshua came on, he, got out and he created a good chance. He had like two dangerous headers that could have been in the back of the net. Like, if there's any other goalkeeper. Yeah, he definitely scores a goal. But what do you think Darren's thought process there is bringing Simmons on, starting with Simmons and then bringing Boshua on?
I mean, I think it was probably just rotation because Wednesday Arthur started and Nick came off the bench. So, I mean, that's my best guess on the rationale. Yeah, I think in all three games so far, the starter's kind of been left a little bit on an island throughout. Like, had, whether it was, Nick in the league games, Arthur in the, cup game. I mean, technically, Arthur may or may not have, gotten the assist, for Bill Hart midweek. I don't think he did.
They're telling me it's an Arthur assist because he handed the ball down. I am claiming this as a Jara assist. I want to have a goalkeeper assist so badly.
Yeah, I couldn't tell which one of them headed it, so whichever way you want to do it is fine with me. Cool. But yeah, I mean, not a lot of service, not a lot coming in. How many times over the years have you kind of whined about Emmy having to drop so deep in the midfield to see the ball at times? Yeah. Like, I think it's a little bit of a function of just how the team is set up to play, and then when we get a little more desperate, start playing a little bit more direct. Personally, I would love to see an opportunity to see them both in there together, kind of do a little bit of a twin tower sort of thing, like. Make the center backs decide, all right, you want to try to man somebody up? Cool, that'll maybe open up somebody else. You need to be able to run around a little bit in there. I think Ryan could slip into one of those spots as well. He's a big dude, too. And mix it up that way, because like I was saying earlier, a lot of our best stuff is still the little bit more, you know, kind of direct hoofball, you know, style of play. You know, corners, long throws, balls over the top, and everything. Like, I can understand the desire for possession, but I definitely understand the desire for running things that work. And right now, yeah, we've got a little bit of evidence, but also we have all the evidence from last year. Like, yeah, you know, the ugly direct stuff seems to be fitting these players a lot better than, you know, the tiki-taka stuff.
Yeah. The third goal.
Whatever.
Whatever. Like Dak slipped, had a bad hit back, guy curled across the box and scored. Like, I'm not. The third goal doesn't bother me at all because you're pressing to get that.
And the only part that bothers me is back to what you were saying before. Like, why are so many guys falling down and slipping?
Yeah, like, I don't know. I don't know if this need to be a stud change or what, but
I feel like I didn't see that much from Tormenta guys. Like, yeah, I mean, there's maybe a little bit of embellishment from some of them, but it wasn't like just pure slip and falling down sort of things.
I will say this, though. I love the fact, because I was sitting in the press box, I love the fact that anytime Lombardi touched the ball, automatically got booed. Like, it wasn't just Red Army. It was the entire crowd that bought into the bit.
Yeah, it's good to have proper villains.
Yeah, like, anytime he touched the ball, it was like, bah. It made me pleasantly laugh. Richmond did score a goal in this game. It came off of a cross that trickled into the back of the net. Caught the goalkeeper up. I will, look, give credit where credit is due. Once again, we saw another masterclass from a goalkeeper in this game. I think he came from Birmingham Legion. Or, like, I don't know, man. I don't know what it is about keepers coming into City Stadium standing on top of their head.
Yeah, I mean, he played well. But how many of those do you think, like, any random keeper wouldn't have saved, though?
I think at least two chances. The Boswell header stands out, and the
which one?
The one where it was kind of looping.
Okay.
I say that one, and I think the one where he has to be the first thing he has to be the diving save, going across his body.
Okay.
I would say those two.
I think. Yeah. In person, I think that first half one, I think it was off a corner, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, where he dives. I think he put himself in a little bit of a bad position and he recovered for himself, because when I saw the highlight, it looked like he was a little further out of the goal than, you know, I thought he was. And,
yeah,
you know, had to do a little bit of recovery work. But I mean, credit on him for, you know, making that. I feel like that Boswell header you're talking about, good save, but also one I think where if he didn't save it, might be asking a question or two of him at the same time. So, like, I mean, I'm not trying to discredit him at all, but, you know, I think, and, you know, the finishing, you know, needs to be crisper. Like,
yeah,
a lot of stuff going straight to keepers.
Yeah, honestly, I feel like that's, if you want to sum this game up into like two things, really, like, miss slips and finishing. Like, if the kickers can finish some of these chances, like, a lot of this game changes, right? Like, a lot of the fortunes in this game changes. The finishing does need to be crisper. Talking to Darren, what did he say? I think it was the pregame. He mentioned that Emmy will be back for the Fuego game. I don't know if that's going to be a start or not. With the week off, we'll see.
Do you believe that?
I do, because the if you remember the first game, he had, like, the strap across his body with his arm casting in. Saturday, when I saw him after the game, it looked like it was a soft cast, just like it's not a sponge bandage, but it looked like just a softer bandage. Mm-hmm. So that let me know, like, the arm is healing.
Yeah.
At
this point, though, I'm going to believe it when I see it, because how many times last year did we hear, oh, you know, Emmy might be back next week?
Yeah, look, that is fair. But I would take what they were. He'd be back by Cleveland.
I hope he is.
Yeah. It may be so. Look, it's not a knee or anything. It's not like a lower extremity. Like we said, like maybe it's something where if they could get it to a point where they could put it like in
the bubble wrap.
Yeah. Like, I don't know if they can club it. Because I don't know like how.
Whether they need to or not, they should, just so he can run around with a big old club on his hand.
That would be fun. I don't know how that works here in lower league, because I think in some leagues you can play with a club, some leagues you can't. But if they can get it to a point where he could be out there playing, I think it would help all the Wilder, because there is something building in this team between Neil, Bill Hart, creating chances and whatnot. I think James Vaughn also had a good performance in this game. He played a lot. He played all over the field, as I remember correctly. I think he played midfield, defense at one point, and also out on the wing. I think Vaughn got credited with the cross that
He was the one that made the cross that Kilwin turned in.
Yeah. So there are positives. I know Darren's been giving me some stick because, you know, we've been a little bit hard on him.
You mean me?
Yeah, well, this is all of us. We love you, Darren. We know you listen. We love you. But I do tip my hat to them, like, some grace. Like, the amount of injuries this team has occurred to, both center backs. Who else am I missing? Emmy, obviously, is a big one. It hurts you. Like, it hurts you. And, like, you know, now Tony's out for an undisclosed amount of time. It definitely throws a big monkey wrench into your plans.
Yeah. I mean, just the counter argument to that is it's a team sport. Everybody runs into injuries. And
that's true.
Yeah. And I mean, try not to bring this up so far, but, we're coming up on 9 months, right? This is not an isolated incident.
No, it's not.
Dropping points at home, and you say there's some good patterns, and I don't disagree, but there's also a lot of the same patterns.
Yeah,
and a lot of stuff that hasn't changed
either. I won't disagree with that. There are a lot of, there are some concerns. I think something that we can take, I can take a little bit more solace in, is that Pablo. Speaking of Pablo Jara, he hasn't had a bad performance yet. He hasn't had like a performance where I'm like, ooh.
Has he had a good one though?
I don't
think Spokane was good.
Spokane to me was average.
He got shipped in the fourth minute.
But once again, like we said, like if you get that guy that cross, 10 times out of 10.
That was not a rocket. That's getting shipped. He led the guy who's supposed to be the play the ball out of the back guy. Let the ball roll over his foot for a corner kick 20 seconds into the game.
Yeah.
And he missed a lot of passes, too.
That's the thing I will say that I do miss about Akira is Akira was great in distribution. Like, his distribution of Akira was great. Pablo, the distribution, he got to get better at that, because there's a lot of times I think he's trying to play it out to Maxi a lot on the left-hand side of the first half. He's either mishit or just slightly behind them, he got to improve on that. I think that's something Darren's going to definitely work on this week with Pablo. But overall, I think the saves and whatnot, like the goals given up, I don't blame him for in this game. He made some good saves, and Christos. Spokane wasn't really tested. But the distribution of Pablo, I think, does need to improve. We'll see. Also, matter of fact, I want to do a quick youth update because there's really not much more to talk about this tormenting game. In a youth update, I think it's the Undertone team that had Landon Johnson, Gabe Cox in it.
Noah was there.
Yeah, Noah was there as well with the USL Academy. Got to the final. I believe they played, was it Indy 11?
Yeah.
It was in the 11th. Lost 1-0 there. But they had a good tournament there. Landon scored some goals and whatnot. So that's positive to see that the youth came back from the tournament. Connor was coaching them down there. No update yet on the Academy schedule and whatnot, but, you know, good to see you guys back. Landon made his home debut, well, debut really for the season team this season. Looked good in that number seven shirt. So hopefully, Darren was saying, like, you know, we'll see more on Landon in the Fuego and Bobcats game coming up there as well. Also, we saw Gabe Cox. So we found out why Gabe had the blonde hair. Lost a bet to Jao, who would score more preseason goals. Well, now, so that's why he has the blonde hair there.
See, I feel like that Gabe wanted an excuse to bleach his hair.
There you go. But, you know, hey, whatever floats his boat.
That sounds like a slight variant of, like, you know, your high school, the girl that you're into, you make some, like, you know, dumbass bet that you know you're never going to win. Like, you know, the bet is like, oh, I guess I have to, take you to, dinner now or something like that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, got to take you out on a date.
Well, man of my word, you know.
Oh, man. Yeah, so you got that. Also, we had the U.S. Open Cup announcement. There was no live draw for this round. There will be one for the next round. Kickers found out who they played. They played Maryland Bobcats April 2nd. I think the game is at 6:30, I believe.
I assume so, yeah.
Yeah, 6:30, 7 o'clock.
Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. We're perfect for me, spring break. We played Maryland Bobcats in a DMV Classico. I felt like it was either going to be between – once Nova FC got knocked out, I felt like it was going to be between Maryland or either Carolina Core. You got the luck of the draw, staying at home, playing against Maryland Bobcats. What do you think is going to come of that game against Maryland?
I mean, coming off of what would that be at that point, 10-day rest, something like that?
Yeah. Probably get some players back as well. Maybe Beckett, maybe you see an Emmy appearance. Possibly as well.
I don't know if you start any of those guys. That might be a good spot to be able to try to, you know, ease them in with like a half hour or so. So I think you'll probably see pretty similar team. Maybe you see the Open Cup team that had Suko and Chandler in there instead. But I think it's still a game the Kickers should win. I think it'll be a little bit tricky because they are still a pro team. Granted, I don't have any regard for Nisa whatsoever, but they have a couple notable players in there, like Espinal. He's a guy who's been around various pro leagues for a while. He can certainly score goals. Our old friend Matai Mwape is with them now, so hopefully that pattern doesn't keep going.
No, I don't need that. I think Maryland's going to be a tricky team. I don't know a lot about Nisa, but for what I've seen of Nisa, Maryland seems to be one of the better teams in the league, better run teams, I'll say that.
They're not a complete train wreck like some of these vaporware teams are that they bring in to have a schedule, come out and then they vanish like a week later.
Yeah. It seems like one of the better-run teams in the league. I think it's going to be a tricky matchup because I'm imagining Maryland is going to be like, look, play the ball through Mwape, get it out to Espinal and see if their striker can get on the end of something. I need Richmond to be clinical in this game. Be clinical in this game, get on to the next round of the cup. Hopefully that clinicalness can lead us into Saturday against Fuego, which we will see Jermaine Jones debut there on Saturday. So, once again, two games in this week. And like I noted on Walking 90, which, by the way, if you want a good wrap-up of some of the stories in the league, make sure you check out Walking 90.
Have you ever listened before? You think we go on some weird tangents? Whew, get ready.
This team got a tough stretch coming up. Not a tough stretch, but a key stretch, because after these two games, you got the derby on the 13th against going up to Madison. I don't want to speak negative. I want to stay positive. I want to, but I'm really, really hoping that we can turn things around, become clinical, cut out some of these mistakes that we're making so we can have good podcasts and that we can have a good month of April. Maybe, you know, leave March behind us. You know, it's tough. We got a good win in the cup, two games against the lead that didn't go in our favor, but hoping fortunes turn in April.
Yeah, these podcasts are always a lot more fun when we just, you know, shit talk the other teams a lot.
Yeah. Without I'm tired of solving our problems.
Right. I just want to, you know, be able to bury teams like Lexington, you know, right now, who supposedly had, you know, the greatest attack in the, you know, history of League One and blah, blah, blah. They're going to run through the entire league and their offense is worse than ours.
Yeah. At least we're creating chances. I'll say that.
Yeah.
We're just not finishing them. At least we're creating chances. And I know people going to go out there and meme the second goal. And frankly so. Like, listen, this is what Darren should do. Give the boys today, Monday, off, right? Come in Tuesday, the first 10 minutes, he should just sit them all in the locker room, play that play, and be like, you see that? We don't do that no more.
You think only 10 minutes?
Huh?
You think only 10 minutes of it?
Well, the first 10 minutes of that goal. Like, just keep it on a loop. And just call out the names. You know, just call out the tormented starting lineup and be like, y'all don't do this no more. Like, that's it. Just keep it on the loop. You just have them pissed off. That's what right. I would like. Honestly, this would just be me as a coach. I would just play the play-by-play of that goal every day in practice and just keep it playing.
Just make
like,
them run out.
Like, teams trade for, like, Florida State and they just play, like, the chop over and over again so you get pissed off by it. Like, that's what I would do.
Yeah, or you punish them, make them – we'll just call them make them run out of, you know, turn bridge sprints now. It's, you know, go in the middle of the field, just run straight up the middle of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pressure. All right. Yeah. Give me another turn bridge. Give me another 50-yard sprint.
Yeah. Like, just stop practice randomly. Like, Zaka, no more cross guard. Like, I don't need this no more. I need you to destroy. Seek and destroy.
Just get the Metallica song playing over top of your practice anytime, you know, Zaka's out there. Just, you know, hear that hook going.
Yeah. That's it. Oh, man. You got to laugh. Because I was up last night, like, editing the post-game shows and whatever. Which, by the way, if you're wondering why they're not live, it's because there's too much time in between each interview to do it live. So instead of it being, like, 14 minutes where I stop and pause it, and then I can send it out and post-edit, like, you were sitting there for 40 minutes just watching, like, a blink. And yeah. But, yeah, like, just sitting back there just watching the highlights, I was just like, what? You just got to laugh at it. You just got to laugh at it.
I mean, I think the other thing we haven't talked about yet.
Yeah.
Like, and I'm a mixed minds of this, you know, because I think it's partly, you know, victim of our own success. I'm disappointed that we had 4,500 people out there, and that sounds insane to say. And I realize it sounds insane to say, but you know, and yes, there was crap weather earlier in the day and was just a little bit cold, but yeah, I think expectations have, you know, risen to the point that 4,500 feels bad, and I think that's great. That feels bad.
Yeah, because last year I think we had 6, but also like good weather. That is weird to say, especially like I always think back to 2019 where we saw a crowd of like 2,000. We got excited. We're like, oh, stack, there's 2,000 people here. And now we're like 45. We're like.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, I mean, again, showing age, but way back in the day when like averages were an announced like 2,100 or so. And like, oh man, we got 3,000 today. We're balling out.
Yeah, right. but it's always a good thing, especially talking about like section O, man. Like I remember I looked at a press, I wish I would have took a photo of it. But section O was like I think 3/4 full at one point. Before I walked over, it was like 3/4 full. And that's just so dope to see like how much section O has grown over the years, the stands have filled out. Like, and also just to see the number of Kickers jerseys and just Kickers mm-hmm. gear and Richmond Ivy gear in the stands as well. Because when I first started to go to Kickers game, people were just wearing EPL jerseys, whatnot, not a lot of Kickers merch, but to see more jerseys there, like our jerseys, even throwback. Like, I've seen, I think in the two home games so far, I've seen like eight throwback jerseys. And I'm not talking about like to 2019. I'm talking like early 2000s with the old logo on it, Kappa era jerseys. Like, that's just so dope to see, man.
I haven't seen anybody brave enough to wear one of those Kappa jerseys. Man, those were skin tight.
Well, look, these are some skinny people that were in those jeans, man. Yeah. Yeah, and also, man, I would say it's dope because, you know, we've been doing this show for 6 years, and honestly, it didn't dawn on me until I recorded on Wednesday that, like, this is actually our 201st episode, and it's always so weird to me that, like, because, you know, I do the pregame walk through the stadium on Instagram Live, and one fan stopped me. He was like, yo, I love your show. Like, I listen to it every time I can. It is just... I have to keep reminding myself, like, yo, there actually are people that listen to this show, because I just be like, nah, you know, I'm not famous.
They might actually think we know what we're talking about, too. A little scary.
You're right. And, you know, if we're doing the show for 6 years, to have 200 episodes, I think, like, we're averaging, like, 70-plus listeners, not just from Richmond, from all over. Granted to Dan Tassel, the owner of South Georgia Tremendous at the game, and he was throwing us flowers as well, man. So, as we always say at the end of every podcast, man, truly, 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 we couldn't do this show without y'all. Like, we couldn't do the show without the people listening, because without y'all, we wouldn't be able to do this. And I just want to say, for the 6 years that we've been doing this, for the 200 episodes we've been doing this, from the stories we've written, like, this, I'm so glad to be able to cover this team. And even though this team is going through a dark, cloudy moment right now, they will come past it. Like, you know, this team has made a transition from buying old, aging stars and having a roster like that to putting their faith into the youth and making that. And it's difficult and it's hard. And trust me, as fans, we all want to see our teams win. But first and foremost, I want to have a team that I can see in the field, and if this means that this is a way how I can keep this team on the field, especially in lower division soccer here in the United States, which is, we've seen teams fold overnight. Like, we just got finished talking about NISA. And I got to go check the numbers. I think Darren threw it out, like, since the mid-2000s, like, something like 149 teams in lower division soccer have folded over the years.
That makes a lot.
Yeah, it is. And look, we talked about it before here. And Richmond came very close to closing their doors in 2018. Like, so if playing the kids and developing that system where it keeps the club healthy and be profitable and, you know, on the field is the most important thing, then so be it. Like, yeah, the results suck. None of us wants to be doing this. We want happy podcasts. The players want to be winning games and whatnot, but I just go back and just think to those moments, like on Saturday, right? The players just lost the game. They don't – I'm pretty sure the last thing they want to do is be walking past supporters that are upset that they lost another home loss in the league. But even within that, like those 5 minutes, man, like it means everything to Section O that the players come by or walk by. We're encouraging them. You know, we know how difficult it is on them and how hard it is. And see them walk by and see the smiles on their faces and see the players that these guys coach. Because these guys aren't, you know, multimillionaires. These guys are getting paid less than me. And I'm a teacher. So that lets you know how bad they're getting paid. and to see the kids that they coach and interact with have the biggest smiles on their face. And, you know, to see them get their jersey signed. Those are things that, over the course of time, like those memories will stick with you, you know. So, yeah. I'm trying to end the pod on a positive note, and I hope I brought a smile to somebody's face by saying that. Little monologue.
Don't even know how you follow that up.
Yeah, no. But yeah, as always, listeners, we just want to say thank you for taking the time out of your day for listening to our show. I know I said that before, but I just want to say it again. Just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. If you want to support the show, head on over to River City 93. Make sure to sign up for our email list when you get the podcast as soon as they drop. Head on over to YouTube. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe. We're doing a lot of content. Trust me, we couldn't do it without y'all.
Yeah. Also, if there's certain type of things you want to see or try, no promises. Throw it out there, and maybe A, we'll know how to, and B, be able to.
Yes, the only thing I'm not willing to do is become like Arsenal Fan TV. That's a good concept. Comment. Yeah, that's a good concept, but I don't have the time nor the effort to do that. And getting drunk reactions right after a game, especially a loss, are not always good. So, but we're willing to suggestions, you know. If someone wants to create it and have us help with it, we're all cool with that. But I personally don't have the time to do that. So with that being said, as always, we will see you guys next week. Remember, U.S. Open Cup game, April 2nd, Maryland Bobcats. We'll see you guys then in stadium. I'll be there. Matt be there. Maybe Shannon. Maybe Gabe. Maybe Kate. Yeah. As always, keep us on the good side. And Bruce, be easy and be safe.